Hey Cheryl, hey Marsh.
Hey Cheryl, hey Marsh. That's a sweet introduction, Cheryl.
We're on a little bit different schedule this week, so we were here we are. don't quite feel settled in yet, but I'll just speak for myself. I'm sure Connie does feel settled in. Connie was just telling me where we are in our reading. We are apparently at NTI John chapter 6, ready to do chapter 6, right, Connie?
Yes.
Okay. just us chickens. So let's have a prayer first. I'm trying to remember what Craig Holiday said his prayer was. Did you remember from his little things we listened to for gentle healing? God be with me now or something. I'm like, well, that's a pretty good prayer. So anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt the prayer. All right, let's all close our eyes again.
God be with me now.
And let us hear what we need to hear, and you know, just let the teaching come through, that so that we're all blessed by the teaching that does come. Amen. Okay. You know, I think occasionally when I preach, I think of my old friend. She was from the old days. She was a clerk down at the courthouse. She was a trip. You remember Miss Porter?
Yeah,
Marge remembers her as well, Catherine Porter. But she was sick in the hospital, and we would go to my husband and I would go. My husband at that time and I would go to visit her, and he came from like a good Baptist tradition, and he could really preach, and I'd get ready to pray, and I'd go, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Miss Porter said, well, you're not much of a prayer, but boy, can your husband pray. Oh, shoot. So, you know, and that's one of the perils, I guess, of this whole non-dual path is, you know, for a while, you're like, you're just really adamant about, you know, if there's only one of us, who in the world could I be praying to? And so that prayer thing takes a while to come through. So, you know, it's just interesting. Okay. Hey, Kathy. My desk is a mess. All right. So, I'm going to put this calendar up and then I'm going to read. Okay, NTI John chapter 6. The light testifies to itself because it does shine. Sorry, I still feel a little unsettled, guys. My bad. Yes, page 194. You need do nothing to let the light testify for you and about you. For this it does because it is you. Yeah, and that's kind of actually what I was thinking about saying a minute ago about the prayer. It's like it doesn't, you know, that again, that's the wrong perspective. It doesn't, right? You're just praying to truth, right? And the truth coming through you, and it's just a way of expressing your truth is what prayer is. So, you know, again, to think that a little person with these little, you know, meatball eyes, and it goes out into to be heard by some other entity. Now that's the duality thinking.
Yeah, it's kind of like the teaching. I mean, who are you teaching? You're only teaching yourself, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And Cheryl says, we don't have to ask for anything. Prayer is expressing gratitude, right? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, have faith in the light that dwells within, knowing also that it dwells in all things and with all men. Since the light is in all things and with all things and all men must be one in communication, because the light is one within itself. Yeah, and so, you know, what you're hearing that is like the Course talking about no private thoughts, right? It's like, it's not that you shouldn't have private thoughts, it's impossible to have private thoughts.
And if you're ever in a relationship, you know that's true.
Yeah. Therefore, you need not tell people where to go or what to do, that they may receive the light and know the light, for the light is with them already. It is you who must open your heart and welcome the light that is present. And then you will see it is present with all, and it has already been present. What I wrote in the margin here is, it reminds me of the Jesus, you know, remove the log from your own eye before you try to remove the splinter from your brother's eye.
Yeah. And it reminds me of a master teacher at the academy saying, I heard him in a what appeared to be a rather large audience. It was a big audience, a big room, and somebody asked a question, and afterwards the person that asked the question went, "Yeah, I can probably see that," and that just set him off, you know, because it's, you know, damn you, and
because he was speaking the truth, because and the person was willing to explain.
Right. I don't, you know, I could give a damn whether whether you don't, you know, I don't need your affirmation.
Okay, page 195, 16 through, verses 16 through 24. The miracle of the light is not a miracle at all. It only seems to be a miracle to you because you do not know the light and you do not have faith in the light's presence. The light is God and the light is with you. So all that is possible with God is possible with you.
Well.
Only your lack of faith tells you it is not so. You go out in search of the light, and when the light is with you, you go out in search of the light when the light is with you, and the light is you. How will you find the light when you do not know where to look? How can you know the light when you do not have faith in yourself? you want to speak? I'm just reminded of today's lesson. I put the future in the hands of God, something along those lines. Thank you, Connie. Connie was reaching for a course book for me. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, it's like, the other thing that I'm reminded of is the whole Elie Ruzdar interview, which I spent quite a bit of time with over the past couple weeks getting that. that audio ready to go on YouTube. You know, she made that same point. It's like, you know, you need to allow room for this. You need to let go of your belief in who you are so that you can be told who you are. You know, how can you say you don't know what it is when you don't know what it is? I mean, you know, you want to exclude things and say, I don't have it. The light, when you don't even know what the light is, how can you exclude these things? So it's our own belief in our own limitations that keeps us from opening up in order to receive the light or the wisdom that's there.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we were talking about at dinner too, just thinking you know something. Even if you're thinking you don't know something, you think you know, that's what you think you know, is the not knowing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the limitations.
Because there's no space.
Right. If you want to believe that you don't know, that's what you get, because that's who you are.
Exactly.
You're the creator of this whole scenario. So if you want to believe that you don't know.
Yeah, and then to believe that about anything, about, you know, oh, I'm sensitive, so, you know, you've got to be careful what you say around me. You know, the whole limitations on any time we think we know something, rather than just making a space
for the moment to unfold as it will unfold.
Right, and being alive in that moment.
Yeah, again, it says you go out in search of the light when the light is with you and the light is you. How will you find the light when you do not know where to look? How can you know the light when you do not have faith in yourself? So, you know, it's all, you know, if you're looking in the wrong direction, you're unlikely to find it. If you're looking for it in somebody else or some experience, you're unlikely to find it because you're looking in the wrong direction. Because you need to be looking in, within. You got that, right?
Right.
The light is life. And so the light is the bread of light. Is the bread of life. It is acceptance of the light that opens one's eyes to life so that he may not see death, but so he may see only life. Only life is, death is not, and so it is nothing to look upon. Do not look at death. Do not look at your brother and see only his death. For if you see only his death, you do not see his life. And it is his life that lives. It is his life that is real, because it is his life that is the light that is with all things. Yeah, this reminds me of the lesson. I forget which one it was. I know Kathy made a post about it in Sharing and Contemplation Together. You know, put away your grave clothes, you know, because you're so focused on your death. And you know, I think both of these references are references to the body. And so if you're seeing your brother as a body, you're looking at only that which is perishable. It's not real anyway. And that's where our focus is. And if that's where our focus is, we're not going to see the truth of what we are, which is life, which animates all things, and which is unending. Right?
Yeah, the next statement says it, I think.
Oh, ha ha ha. That which you choose is that which you see. If you look at your brother and see death, you have chosen death. If you look at your brother and see life, you have known life. No one knows his brother unless he knows life, and no one knows life unless he knows his brother. For your brother and life are one. To know one, you must see one. And to see one, you must choose that there is one, by accepting the light that is the one you are. It is faithlessness that makes this teaching hard for you to accept. You do not have faith in your brother, and you do not have faith in yourself, because you do not have faith in the light. To have faith in the light is to have faith in God, and that is to have faith in all things and in all persons. Because God is all things and all persons. Without God, there are no things and no persons. And without that which is God, there can be nothing. To see anything at all is to see God. To have faith in anything at all is to have faith in everything you see. For without faith in all things, you are faithless. Because all things are God and you are all things. It's funny, I heard that, I don't know, when I was reading this before, but it reminds, you know, you remember that song, You Are Everything and Everything Is You?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's probably where they got that. Because the Bible says it just that way. You are everything and everything is you. It's like, that's really cool. But of course, you know, again, that's what's being discussed here is, you know, again, what we tend to think is that we are, that even as students on the spiritual path, is that there is a oneness. And then there's us trying to get to the oneness. Which of course makes no sense when you say it right out. But the truth is there is oneness and you are it, and there's nothing outside of that oneness. It all occurs within the oneness. So for you to point to your brother and go, well, he needs to or she needs to, I mean, it makes no sense. It's all oneness. It's not like you know, what we want to think is like, it's like a bag of marbles that gets distributed. You know, there's a marble there. And it's not. It's more like a bag of goo. Right? I mean, there's no separation. Everything is made from that one bag of goo that is inseparable. There's no, well, we're one, but like right now we're separate, and then later we'll be one again, or... it's like, it's only a very temporary, and in fact, you know, there's not even any time, so you can't even say really, can't even say temporary, but it's a fleeting delusion that things could be other than the bag of goo, right? That things that you could even imagine being a marble is like, it's just like beyond, you know, that's the mistake. That's the, belief in separation. And yet, so we want to think of ourselves as marbles who are becoming a bag of goo, and it's not true. You're not a marble. You are the goo.
You know, and I used to think about in that same light, I used to think about or contemplate, I guess, you know, what is spirit? Because we talk about spirit all the time. And I thought, spirit, you know, like the spirit of Christmas. Well, it's an all-encompassing idea, focus, and feeling, right?
Right.
So there's nothing, you know, everything that's in the spirit of Christmas, I mean, you know what that is. It's a whole range of ideas and thoughts and feelings.
Nice.
And without really the form, but I mean, you know,
it encompasses that as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, if you talk about the spirit of Christmas, I don't think you're talking necessarily about the form. You're talking about the giving, the receiving, the joy, the excitement, the gaiety, the, you know, all those feelings that come with that. So, you know, if we are spirit only, then it seems like, you know, we're the spirit of life or light or joy or without the form.
Cool. Very cool. Okay, we are on the top of page 196, NTI John chapter 7. The guidance of the light is known from within. One must learn to trust himself to know his guidance, and one must learn to trust his brother to trust himself. For one cannot trust himself and distrust his brother. To trust oneself and distrust one's brother is not to trust fully, and not to trust fully is not to trust at all.
Wow. Okay, well, I gotta go be with that. And that wasn't even the thing I had starred on this page.
You know, it's either all of a piece or it's not. You know, it's either, you know, It's one of the two columns. It's either oneness or separation. So you're either trusting in ego and the thinking mind, or you're trusting in spirit. And if you're trusting in spirit or inner wisdom or God or oneness or whatever you want to call it, whatever that column is called, if you're trusting in that, then you understand that you're one with your brother and there's nothing to distrust. So you're in one column or the other. Again, like we've talked about before.
That's well said, then.
Kathy says, it's so hot here, Christmas was nowhere in my sphere. It's the spirit of Christmas, Kathy. You can have that in July or August. All right. Do not tell your brother what he should do. Let him know for himself what he should do, and let him do it. In this way, you demonstrate for yourself that the light can be trusted, and you open within yourself the opportunity to know and trust the light. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to trust the light when you're looking over your shoulder thinking you might get stabbed in the back. Right? I mean, it's what we said before, but yeah, what do you have to say about it?
I'm a pretty bossy pool girl sometimes, and I've been in relationships where you're telling them everything to do, and you go, oh my God, shut up. Because you realize that the reason that you're telling somebody everything to do is because you don't trust that they would have their own, they would be able to do it, that you tell them everything to do, which is absurd and beyond egotistic.
Yeah, and it just points back to that other paragraph. You know, either the Spirit of God is one or it's not. Either the Spirit is in everyone or it's not.
Yeah.
You know, what do you choose to believe?
Right.
To trust the guidance from within is to listen with openness and without judgment. I'm just trying to remember where I read it earlier today. I think it's later in John. So about how judgment blinds you, blocks your sight. But to trust the guidance from within is to listen with openness and without judgment. When you judge the guidance that you hear, you demonstrate an unwillingness to listen. When you judge the guidance that you hear, you demonstrate an unwillingness to listen. This unwillingness comes from fear, for you fear that to trust guidance without judging it is to lose all sense of yourself and of your world.
You and I just had this experience where, what was that?
I don't know, tell me.
You're saying that, well, this doesn't really make sense. Something we were going to do or something, you're saying this doesn't make sense, but this is the guidance that I got. And I go, well, I guess we better go with that then.
Moving to Colorado.
Oh. Well, no wonder the guidance was wrong.
That's funny. Yeah. You fear that to trust guidance without judging it is to lose all sense of yourself and of your world. In this, you are not incorrect. It is only the fear that misleads you. For to lose the sense of yourself as you see yourself now, and to lose your sense of the world as you see the world now, is to lose your sense of what is false and to gain the realization of what is true. So the idea is, yeah, it doesn't make sense to the individual self to stop reasoning through things, to stop going to the go-to guy, the mind, to tell you what to do, because this is how you've organized your whole life around, here's a problem, let me figure it out, let me solve it. And now you want me to do what? You want me to give up my organizational skills, what my whole life is built on, and listen to some guidance that may or may not turn out to be right and only get one step at a time? Are you kidding me? So yes, I'm going to move to Colorado. Kathy wanted to know. Yes, Kathy, I'll be moving to Colorado. I don't know how soon. I got stuff that I've got to wrap up here first.
Another 10 years or so.
I don't think so. What we want to do when we start hearing guidance is to go, oh, okay, that's a good idea, God. Hang on a second. Let me see if that works with what I was thinking about doing. Let me see if that makes sense.
And for me, it's that sentence number four. You fear that to trust guidance without judging is to lose all sense of yourself and of your world. So it's like, I don't think I can let this go. You know. And I hate to admit this on the radio.
Right. Yeah, but that puts you in the wrong column, right?
It does.
In the other column. We'll just call it the other column. Amen, Kathy. I place the future in the hands of God. Kathy says she's moving too. She doesn't know where. I place the future in the hands of God.
Well, move in here, Kathy, and we can hang out.
I think maybe you ought to come to Colorado, Kathy. Connie will just join us there. She doesn't know it yet, but she will. Too cold. Oh, no, it's almost never cold in Colorado. In the middle of the winter, it's not. It's temperate in Colorado. It's like in the 60s. Yeah. No. I don't do snow either. The whole time I was in Colorado, it snowed like, you know, I don't know, a quarter of an inch for the whole, 4 years I was there. You got to go to Pueblo. Okay, anyway. If you hold on to your fear out of a sense of self-protection, you hold on to your willingness to embrace the light.
Unwillingness.
I know. Isn't that funny that I couldn't read that? My unwillingness couldn't read the word unwillingness. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. If you hold on to your fear out of a sense of self-protection, you hold on to your unwillingness to embrace the light. I mean, you can hear it right there, right? A fear of self, out of your fear of self-protection. It's like, what are you protecting? The separate self.
Exactly.
You must embrace the light to share it. You must be the light for the light to shine through you. Okay, Marge. We're still talking about Colorado. Marge says, how about your wedding day? There was a blizzard on my wedding day, but that was only because Tom so did not want to get married. And again, like I pointed out the other night when we looked at this, you must be the light for the light to shine through you. You must embrace the light to share it. You must be the light for the light to shine through you. And it was like Regina's tip, you know, be enlightened now. So, you know, we're all at a stage where we can see that. We can see the choice to act in the old egoic ways with judgment and self-doubt and distrust of my brothers. We see that choice, but we can also see the enlightened choice. You know, how would an enlightened person act now? We know how an enlightened person would act now, and it's not with distrust of ourselves and our brothers. And so this is what this is encouraging us to do, to embrace our lightness.
Right. To embrace the spirit of love, joy,
right,
happiness, sharing, gladness. All those, embrace that spirit.
And do that now. Exactly. Verses 25 through 44. Confusion comes from the mind that tries to think. This mind tries to reason and make sense of what cannot make sense. But this mind craves sense over chaos, because sense gives this mind a sense of order. And where there is order, there can be control. And where there is control, one can find identity.
Well, that about wraps it up for me, folks. Put that in a bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else you want to say about that?
No.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to what, of course, what we read in The Untethered Soul last week. You know, it's like, this is the job we've given our mind to do, to make sure nothing ever disturbs me, everybody around me is happy, everybody likes me, all of those things that we, the jobs that we gave our mind to do. And so that's what we set about doing. We set about to identify problems and to solve them because it makes us feel safe. And that's what this is talking about.
Exactly.
Instead of saying, gee, I really don't know who I am, you take it from here, God, right? Which makes us feel like, oh my God, that's chaos, I can't do that.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, not have been able to trust that at all.
Yeah. And here's the answer, verses 45 through 53. It is the heart that knows identity. The heart is beyond reason, because the heart is willing to accept what the mind cannot accept. Follow the light that shines within the heart. Ask the mind to rest its questions and seek not for answers. The heart will lead you to the identity you seek. So, when we were talking a while ago about, you know, be enlightened now, I mean, what guide do you follow? Well, that's the heart. I mean, that's how we know what an enlightened person would act like now.
Yeah, we've all had those experiences where you go out, you're bubbly, you go in the convenience store, and you know, you're having a fun conversation with this guy behind the counter that's never ever said more than two words to you ever before in your life, and you're laughing and you're giggling, and the next person comes up, they're laughing and they're giggling, and life is just a joy. Because you're in that spirit of your heart. You're in that. And that in your true identity.
Sweet. Sure. Kathy wants to make a comment on the mic. Kathy, please take the mic.
Hey guys. You know, this, the word, the heart, you know, the word, the heart, the term, the heart, it still, for me, doesn't feel, I don't know, like, intimate somehow. Maybe because I, at least, this is how I see it, and this is just my perception of A Course in Miracles, because that has been my primary path for, you know, 25 plus years now. At least for me, I never really got a sense of connecting to my heart through A Course in Miracles. And maybe other people have, but I haven't. So when it says it is the heart that knows identity, obviously with a capital I, meaning to me, it knows self. It knows the truth of who I am, who I actually am. Then it says the heart is beyond reason. Beyond reason. And you know, we're asked, Regina's been talking about using right reason. And sometimes I'm like, well, what is right reason? Certainly if I'm trying to use right reason, I can notice a sense of peace about that. I can notice a sense of seemingly everybody in the situation may be feeling comfortable or you know, things working out for everyone's benefit as opposed to just my benefit. But this idea of the heart, I don't really know what to do with that. Honestly, I don't even really know what to do with that. I don't want to place it in a body position where it's, you know, where my physical heart is. And I don't want to intellectualize it in my mind either, because I actually don't know what it is. And so, you know, whenever I see the word heart, it's like, ugh, you know, follow the light that shines within the heart. And, you know, and because I'm so, I don't know, I just feel so disconnected from that. It just never really feels all that impactful. And I was wondering if you guys have, any comments on that or how you think about heart. I think about heart as like wisdom or, beyond the intellect or, the seat of awareness or, I don't know. I'll just let go, but I just wanted to share that with you because it's always been kind of a bummer for me, this idea of the heart. So I'll let go. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, my question to you, Kathy, would be, what other word would you rather use? Because I think the NTI here is just trying to find a word that connotates love. I love you with all my heart, but distinguishes itself from the mind. And I think it's what we were talking about before. It is the spirit of things.
Yeah, like the spirit of Christmas.
Like the spirit of Christmas. It's the spirit of the heart. It's the spirit of love. It's the spirit of joy. It's the spirit of comfort. It's the spirit of happiness. And I, you know, that this word was determined to give that to most of us. So, but I don't think it's, I mean, I think you can change, the light will lead you to the identity you seek.
Yeah. So
God will lead you to the identity you seek.
She says that's helpful, by the way.
Okay.
I didn't
Go
want to,
ahead.
I'm not trying to make you stop talking. I just want you to know that she had said that. So shut up. No. And it's yeah, I think that is really helpful. And it's like for me it feels like somewhat akin to compassion. It's like and I think what you said was really good, the spirit of things. But it's like, I'm thinking like, puppy breath and and
Baby's feet.
and baby's feet. Right? Yeah, just that real visceral, not in any particular spot in the body, but that whole hearted, that whole bodied feeling of expansiveness for me. And so maybe that's what I want to, the distinction that I would make, it's the one that I often make, is the distinction between contraction or expansion. If you feel contracted, you're probably listening to your mind. If you feel expansive, then you're listening to your heart. It's been my experience. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, and again, Kathy, you've probably heard me talk about that experiment that I've done with, and again, I think I stole it from MPP, but that's okay. That I've done with that I've personally done, and then I've done with some of my classes, and that is to tell people to start to feel when they feel contracted. And if somebody goes, "Hey, can I borrow your car?" You immediately contract. That's contraction I'm talking about. Matter of fact, borrow your car and run down to the store to look for that feeling of contraction, and then instead do what's expansive, what feels expansive instead. And then that's because it's helpful. It's a good experiment to do for a week or 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever, because it helps you feel your heart. And get into that. So at least you know the difference between contraction and expansion, between living in your head and living in your heart. Okay. Where are we? Oh, we're at NTI John chapter 8, right?
Yep. Yeah, so the next sentence is going to talk about the mind again, as in opposition to the heart.
Right. The mind has made laws, and it asks you to follow them. These laws give you your identity, because these laws tell you who you are in relation to them.
The small identity.
Right. But who are you without the laws of man? If the laws were different, would you be different because of a different relationship to them? Can you truly be defined by laws or by a relationship to the law? And if you're not defined by your relationship to the law, why do you hold on to it so fiercely? What is it you believe you're holding on to?
The lack of chaos.
Right.
Control.
Yeah. It's a control thing. But, yeah. You know, and that's why, you know, you go, oh, you always have to send a thank you note. Or, you know, whatever the rule is, and then get upset when people don't follow those rules.
Oh, yeah, or somebody does something in traffic laws. And that's not the law, mofo.
Yeah, somebody did that. Oh, yesterday, I got on the expressway, and a guy took a frontage road right beside me, and he kept up with me the same speed. I'm like, that's not fair. That's chaos. No, you know, I wasn't thinking about it in those terms, but really that's what's kicking up.
Absolutely.
because it's challenging my sense of right order.
Hey, it reminds me of the story in the Bible, and I don't know where it is in the Bible. It might not even be there, but
John.
But they talk about you know, that people weren't supposed to leave their home or their Sabbath on the Sabbath or whatever, and so many steps from the house. You probably know this, Marge. Jacqueline, you're good with the Bible, too. You're not supposed to take so many steps from the house or whatever, and they would have people that they took a stone and put it from their house that led out their walk and put it in front of them and stepped on that, and then took the next stone, went, turned around and took the stone behind them, and so they'd go wherever they wanted to go, but they had to go putting the next stone in front of it in order to follow the laws that you're supposed to be home on the Sabbath.
And they
just
were
just absurd.
Yeah. Following the letter of the law and
yeah.
not the spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, and that's, you know, that's another one of those things that's fun, well, fun or not fun, depending on how grave the situation feels. But fun to look at. It's like, why am I so upset that guy's doing the same speed limit as me? You know, and he's on the frontage road and I'm on the expressway. And why am I upset that people are taking their stone and they're not really at home, even though
yeah.
they're pretending to be? Or, you know, and those are all the fun things to look at. You know, what is it? Why is this so upsetting to me?
Because yeah, because of lack of control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're cheating there, then what sense can we make of the world?
Right. And, of course, the answer is none, but we don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, following intellect, what I think I know, and I'm upset by it. Exactly. Yeah, we were just talking about that earlier, too, weren't we? What I think I know gets me. That's when I get upset, is when I think I know something and this isn't going according to
yeah,
the way I
mean, I
think it ought to go.
And it's a law, damn it. I mean, if I know anything, it's a law. Everybody knows the law. Everybody knows you're not supposed to go 60 miles on a frontage road. Right?
Everybody but that guy.
Yeah. And so he's breaking all the laws and the world is going to come to a screaming halt.
Right. okay. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30, middle of page 197. One is who he is, only he does not know it if he insists on being defined according to the laws of the world. The light is the truth of everything, and the light is not bound by the world, because the light is not of the world. The light is beyond the world. You must lift your sight beyond the world to know the light. Yeah, and actually, this first part, anyway, I'm reminded of when the Pharisees would come to Jesus and they go, well, here's the law. What are you going to do now? Right? And Jesus would like go on and heal people, or, you know, which was like working on the Sabbath or whatever you weren't supposed to do, or, you know, and he didn't care about those laws. I mean, that's it, because he was not in his head. He wasn't going, well, let's see, the law says I can do this, and therefore I'm going to move this stone. And no, I mean, he was in his heart. And that's what he was teaching all along. And the only reason we know about it is it was reported in the Bible for the reason to, you know, to teach the lesson. It's the same lesson that's being taught here. It's like, you know, it's not the laws of men. It's not, it's get out of your heads and into your hearts, basically. I am under no laws but God's. Amen. As long as you welcome the laws of the world as the basis of your identity, you deny that your truth is not of the world. To deny that your truth is not of the world is not to accept and welcome the light. You place a limit on what you will accept, and so the unlimited cannot be accepted. If limits are what you choose, limits are what you receive. You are given that for which you ask. Does that not tell you that you must be beyond limits?
We're beyond the speed limit of the frontage road.
Well, the really cool thing about this is again, it's like, you know, you forget who you are. You forget that if you want to play little, then you're going to experience life as little. If you want to play like you got all these limitations on you, you're going to experience life with only within those limitations.
And what are laws but limitations?
Right. Right, that you would impose on your brother and on yourself. Yeah. Yeah, and the funny thing is here is it's kind of like a, I don't know, the word just went right down my head. It's just funny, it's because it's like, just the irony in that. It's like, if you want to be limited, you can. Doesn't that tell you you're beyond limits? It's like, it's really kind of funny. In the light there is freedom, because the light is freedom. Without the acceptance of the light, you cannot know freedom. You may believe you are free, but you are deceived. You are not free because you cannot see clearly. You are a slave to that which you see and a slave to that which you experience. So this is really, you know, this is really talking about, and we often talk about it in these terms that we've talked about it, speeding on the frontage road. But this is really, this is saying you're not a body. You need to begin to look beyond the belief that you're a body. You have chosen to place your identity in this little ball of clay, in this seeming point in time, in this seeming space in the all that is. You've chosen to like shrink yourself down to this size and then live within those limits. And it's time for you to let go of your belief in yourself as a body.
Yeah, but what could the laws do to the mind? I mean, even, you know, they even talk about the concentration camps, that the prisons, the laws could not imprison the mind. Unless you accept that as a limitation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm concurring with what you say about the body. The laws are only laws for the body.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's just reinforcing that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so it says, you're not free because you cannot see clearly. You're a slave to that which you see and a slave to that which you experience.
So the limit of the mind, the limit of the body, because we've dumbed the mind down to the limit of the body, but this is saying, you know, you're beyond your experiences.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So if you want to have all your thoughts and all your dreams and all of everything be limited like that, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get that limitation.
There's no need to be sorry. I mean, I think that's exactly what this is saying. I'll go on. It says, you see and experience what you ask to see and experience. It's an important sentence. You see and experience what you ask to see and experience. This can never not be true. You are not the victim of your world. Your world, as you experience it, is the world of your design. Your mind is like a trap in that it limits you based on the beliefs you hold on to. And those are the real laws that we're getting at, right? Whatever you believe, you experience. And whatever you refuse to believe, you do not allow into your experience. In this way, your mind is the filter of all that you experience. You know, and that's, of course, that perceptual loop. What I see, what I experience, I think, and on and on and on and on. And it's interesting here that it talks about cognitive dissonance. You know, we won't allow into our experience that which we don't believe in. Whatever you believe, you experience. And whatever you refuse to believe, you do not allow into your experience. So, you know, here a few minutes ago, it was talking about, you know, trusting in guidance. And it's like, oh, no, I can't trust in guidance because, you know, my brother's going to stab me in my back, right? I mean, I can't, like, just let people move into my house or whatever you're called on to do, right? So you're going to limit yourself by following the dictates of the logical mind instead of just going with what you really genuinely feel prompted to do.
Yes, or the heart.
Right.
And, you know, and I have a scenario going on at work, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of details, but, you know, I've got two people at work going, you know, she's done this and she's done this and therefore she must be trying to do this. I mean, their logic says that this has happened and this has happened. And I'm going, look, guys, there's just no way that I believe in this limited concept that you have. I mean, your logic may or may not be logical, but it's you know, from the depth of my being, I know that this is not true about this person. You can make it as logical as you want. You can come from the mind and say, from step one to step two means step three must be true. And I'm going, and it may add up for you, but I know, that
she has some horrible or ulterior motives is what the other people think.
Yeah, they're showing you out of proof. An hour of pay. Oh my gosh.
They're showing you the proof.
They're showing me the proof, but it's just not there. And in my, you know, there's no way it's there.
Yeah, so how's that fit into this? I believe that it does. I just want you to bring it together.
Well, I'm just saying, it's saying that the mind and the mind experiences are the limitation. It's the heart that's beyond the limitation. It's getting into the heart or the spirit of the heart that is going to transcend in a big step and not just the next little segment step. To get out of that loop, to get into the heart, is going to make the step out of, is going to be the big step out of this limitation.
Yeah. Yeah, to allow you to experience beyond what your seeming prior experience would
say is the next logical thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Thanks. There's something on the board, I think.
Yeah, the mind is like a trap in that it limits you based on the beliefs you hold on to. Absolutely, Kathy says. The light is, and the light always has been. Before man, there was the light. Before belief, there was the light. Within eternity, there is the light. The light is... But if your mind will not accept it and welcome it, that which is does not seem is within your experience. you experience that which you ask. Does that not tell you you are beyond your experience? Again, it's that kind of that irony that we were talking about. And, you know, if you want to believe you're limited, then you can experience limitation. Does that not tell you you're beyond your limits? And the same thing here. You experience that which you ask. Does that not tell you that you are beyond your experience? Yes. You know, how could you have control over that, right? If you weren't beyond the actual experience that you seem to be having, which is an experience of lack and limitation. Cool. But you're only doing that at your own desire.
Own peril.
Yeah. And at your own peril too, yeah. Exactly. And Kathy says, so your employees are trapped in their beliefs about this other person and will not open to another perception.
Exactly. And you talk with them and you go, listen, guys, that is, you know, I know you think A plus B equals C, but that's just not logic. I mean, it's not fathomable.
Well, and you know, and the advantage that you have over your employees in similar situations is your spiritual aspiration, your desire to know the truth, to know that the truth is true, right? And so it's not your desire not to be taken advantage of. And that's what their primary motivation is, just because it is for most of the human race, right? Is not to be taken advantage of, or not to be seen the fool, or not to, you know, miss out on any money. But they don't have the, this is our saving grace, is the fact that no, you know, we don't want to be subject to the dictates of our mind anymore. Is we want to know the truth.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to read the next paragraph. We're about out of time, but I want to read the next paragraph because I love it. Regina will probably go over this tonight since it was in our reading. But open to your heart. Let the voice within the heart lead ahead of the mind. When the mind disputes the heart, let the mind rest. Answer the mind thusly. I do not know what I do not know, and so I cannot answer your questions. I only know what I've been led to know, and because I choose to know it, I can see. Which is just that, you know, that opening. I don't know, you know, so when you know, you receive guidance to do something, your mind's like, whoa, hold on there a minute. You can't do that. You'll go broke or whatever it is, right? Then you can go, listen, this is my guidance. I'm doing this because this is my guidance, and I'm open to discovering the truth. I place a future in the hands of God.
Yeah, it's just beyond the dictates of the rational mind that's never going to lead us out of this world.
No, because as we saw last week, the rational mind's job is to support the separate sense of self.
And control the chaos.
And seemingly control the chaos.
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, guys. Cheryl, we did NTI John chapter 6, 7, and 8 tonight. We love you guys. We appreciate you letting us be here and share with you and be on this path with you.
Thank you so very much. I'm very grateful.
Okay.
Good night.
Night. See you next time. Bye.